You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Let me ask you this. So he clearly has no issue talking about whatever he wants to talk about on his records. Because he's like, he's talking about this ex-girlfriend that he's accused of like beating on this album.
Mm.
You as an artist.
Yeah.
You've been very transparent.
Yeah.
Have there been things that you wanted to speak on, but you were just like, nah, I can't go there?
Yeah, of course. I think what happens is I've learned to be responsible with my transparency. And what I mean by that is when you were talking about real life issues with that involve people and maybe people that you still have to deal with on a regular basis or a semi-regular basis or to whatever degree, you see that what you say affects them, especially when it's now in the public eye. It's different when it's between parties involved. It's different again when there are other people involved, maybe close to the situation. And it's a whole other monster when you let the general public in on that. I've been very irresponsible with my transparency, and I don't think that it's fair. You know, poets will say this all the time. You know, if you break my heart, I'm going to write a poem about you. That's very irresponsible because, like, now you're putting all of their stuff out there on Front Street because this is how you deal with or this is how you get over. The sign of a mature artist is when music is not the therapy or is not the god that it once was. Like, coming up, I used to be the guy who had to write whenever I felt any emotion. If I liked a girl, she got a song. If I hated somebody, they got a diss record. If I was going through something, I talked about it. And it's why, as I spoke about earlier, it's hard for me to do those records like Walking Contradiction because there was really no end to it. It was just an open wound that just bled everywhere. But the song was dope. So people sort of like get to enjoy your pain. But it wasn't therapeutic. Not for me. Maybe for somebody else, but it definitely wasn't for me. So I've learned as I get older not to put anybody else under the bus. There's still a way to be transparent. Even with a record like So Help Me God, I could have went in way deeper. That was very surfacey, talking about going to therapy and, you know, revelations that I've gotten about, you know, just some of the relationships that I've had. Like, that's still very surfacey. I could have went deeper, but for what? As you get older and more mature with your writing, you learn how to say, as the kids say, say less. Or as we say, say more with less. I don't have to say, you know, so-and-so did this to me and this is how I felt. You could just say one thing. Feelings are stupid because feelings don't know your future encapsulates like layers of issues, but they all go back to that one line. So I think just as I get old, like I can still be transparent, but you can learn to be cognizant with your transparency. And you can learn to be responsible with it. Not the fake transparency that I've alluded to before, where people are transparent just so they can manipulate the situation. But no, this is more like I'm going to be transparent, but it's not about the transparency. The transparency isn't the focal point. The transparency is used to get you somewhere else, if that makes sense and if that answers your question.
I think it does. Okay. So would you then say that Tentacion is being irresponsible with his transparency?
He's a kid.
Right, and so my follow-up then was going to be basically, is it on purpose or is he doesn't know any better?
I think he's a baby.
Right.
He's a baby. I'll say this. He knows what he's doing, but he has no idea what he's doing. Like, we give young people a pass, and we say, ah, he's just a kid. My daughter is 12 and is incredibly intelligent and is incredibly self-aware. And though she knows why she does things, she just doesn't have the mental capacity to maybe think further than, you know, a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Kids don't think far out like that. What am I feeling in this moment? What do I want to accomplish? What do I need to do that will accomplish what I want to do? I'm going to do that. And I don't think X is ignorant of what he's doing. I just think he doesn't understand the magnitude of it. So there is still a level of responsibility that he can have. I just listen to his music and I look at how he moves and all that, and just, he doesn't want to have that responsibility. And people won't give it to him because he's 17.
Well, and also, as we've talked about on the show recently, the gatekeepers are gone.
Mm, yeah.
So we 17 year olds make dumb decisions, right? We used to do that. Maybe not, I mean, not saying these, but just it's not uncommon for even 20-year-olds to make terrible decisions, right?
Oh, it's not uncommon for 30-year-olds. I think we make dumb decisions until we die.
All right. But there is a level of maturity that exists at that age, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And, immaturity. And so whether right or wrong, like the fact that we, you know, now it's, oh, by the way, these are 17, 18, 19, 20, whatever year olds who are becoming famous, who have a direct connection to their fans, who have no gatekeeper, no filter between them releasing music and doing whatever. And so on the plus side, like we said before, yeah, we're going to hear stuff that maybe people will like and would have gotten, you know, never would have been released because, oh, no, you can't do that. That's too honest. No, yeah. You can't do that. That'll get you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But it means that, yeah, we're going to hear everything.
Yeah.
And so you get a project like 17, which, you know, it's unformed. It's messy. There's like hints of potential and interesting stuff going on there. But it's also just, it just feels like you're like, I listened to it and I could appreciate what he was trying to do sonically. But I was also like, I don't want to ever listen to this.
Yeah.
This is depressing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Way and too angsty for me. And that's really a large part of a lot of hip hop nowadays. Just too angsty for me. And the beat's not enough to save that.
Right. I mean, so maybe, you know, hip hop is rock 20 years ago.
Yeah, maybe.
Right. Blending with other genres, full of angst, full of, you know, and we're like the old, like, stadium rock hits going, nah, it's not for me.
Yeah. That's possible.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to say about this. So I think a huge part of his career sort of depends on like what happens with these charges. We've seen artists go, you know, artists gain a little bit of fame almost off the fact that they went to jail before.
Free Yayo.
Free Yayo. Even Max B.
Yeah, free Max B. Earl Sweatshirt. I mean, he didn't go to jail, but he went to like a camp or whatever. I don't know. He went to Camp Anawana. I don't know where he went. But his legend.
Hearts and when we, no.
Definitely makes me want to. His legend grew because of that.
I mean, couldn't you say though that like what happened with, you know, Snoop and Pac independently, that their legends grew because of what they went through?
100%. We always tell people, and we've talked about this on the show, Snoop in 1993 was the most feared man in America.
Right.
And it just so happened that he was a part of a murder. And that just intensified the narrative.
And so what happens if you take that, imagine like a raw Snoop who didn't have Dre and who didn't have the Interscope marketing machine, like and plunked him in, you know, 2017, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he'd be, I think, in a sense, he'd probably be some buzzing SoundCloud rapper. And we'd have a whole bunch of his random one-offs that we certainly don't have now because they never made it out. But we also wouldn't have The Chronic and we wouldn't have Doggy Style.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I like, because I really part of me wants to just be like, listen, like this guy's a scumbag and, you know, like we should just, because I feel like in a sense, I feel like a lot of media didn't want to give this guy as much coverage as you think his sales would have warranted.
I haven't seen anybody not give him coverage except DJ Booth.
I don't know. I feel like leading up to the album, I feel like people didn't really, I don't know. I feel like there was sort of a little bit of, well, he's got a pretty bad accusation against him, so let's lay back. I don't know. I got that feeling a little bit. But I don't know. Does that make me a hypocrite then? Because I listen to Tupac. I listen to Snoop. You know, like if you cheered Mike Tyson in the 90s.
Did Tyson really rape that girl, though? Did Tupac really rape that girl? You know, I don't know. According to the courts, they did, you know, but I guess that's kind of where it plays into. But I think it's weird where with X, it seems like, you know, he's like, this isn't true, but he's still embracing like the bad guy image that comes with it. But I guess Pac and Tyson did too, right?
Yeah, of course they did. I mean, look at Dre, who tried to become more gangster and thugged out.
Oh, I heard Keep Their Heads Ringing today.
I watched most of Friday the other week for the first time in a while. Holds okay. Up, thankfully.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of movies from the mid-90s where you go back and watch them now and you're like, no.
Yeah.
You know, I randomly watched The Mask.
Oh my God, why?
because it popped up as like something free I could watch on whatever. And I was
that
just
movie
like,
wasn't good when it came out.
No, look, I was the biggest Jim Carrey fan in 1994.
I could see that.
That was both a shot and not a shot.
Nah, I could just see that. It's 1994. Jim Carrey was the man in 94.
Right. And I love that movie in 94.
Yeah.
And now you watch it and it's basically like, all right, so this is basically just, this movie is like one part men like Ugin Laglin over, what's her name? Why can't I think of her name?
Would you call it?
Ugin Laglin.
Hold on, let me see who.
Cameron Diaz. It's her first movie. And it's basically like, there's a whole sequence of the movie, which is basically like two guys drooling over her.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the movie is basically Jim Carrey riffing and being zany crazy guy. And that's the movie.
Yeah.
That and a cute dog.
Yeah.
But no, Friday holds up. You don't like Ugin Laglin? I like that.
No, Ugin Laglin was hilarious.
Be the worst name for an R. Kelly song ever.
Ugin and Ogling. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I can just totally see, I could totally see him doing that.
She's like, ooh, 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 ooh.
That is 1,000% an R. Kelly song. In 1995. That is on the R album.
Or 2005.
Yeah, that could be on, that could be on TP3. I'll never forget reading an R. Kelly interview in, I think, Vibe magazine, where he on the spot made a dirty song about ordering food from McDonald's. And I was fascinated and disgusted at the same time. So I don't know, man. Does that just play into our biases where, you know, we're big Death Row fans and we're big Mike Tyson fans in the 90s. So, and then we're also 15. And we're also 12 and 11 and 13, and we don't know any better. But now, you know, as a man with a daughter,
as an adult, you don't have to qualify it as somebody who has a daughter.
What I mean by that is just like, for some people, adult doesn't mean anything. You know, like my daughter helped me have a better perspective on women. I often wonder, honestly, if I can be transparent, I often wonder if I would have had the same perspective, because I had a very misogynistic perspective of women. I'd have the best relationship with my mom growing up. So would I have the same misogynistic viewpoint of women had I not had a daughter? Had I not have the women in my life that I have who are able to, like, you know, change that? Being an adult doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have that. So I guess, like... Is it now being older and just in general, having a different perspective on women, seeing this guy and then not even liking his music and be like, man, get out of here. He did that. He's got video, you know, there's videos of him on Instagram beating people up. And, you know, you hear the angst in some of his other music. His SoundCloud music is still, it's not this, you know,
right,
Kurt Cobain-y, Soundgarden, Black Hole Sun, Stone Temple Pilots type stuff. But like, you know, I hear some of the stuff that my nephews listen to and I'm like, what is this? This sounds like demons rapping. I don't want to hear this. And why are you listening to it?
Have you told them that they need to go to church more yet?
Oh, they already go to church more. They go to church every time. I mean, their mother is their stepfather is the pastor of the church. So there's that.
Oof.
So they're already like, nah.
Oh, so they're trying to buck the system.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Kids are going to get in trouble.
It's getting to that point, because, you know, the thing about kids is like, keep using that experience like, oh, they're just kids. Before you know it, they're 18 and they won't. And I'm trying to tell them like, hey, y'all, like, you're almost out. So the things that you do now, and maybe you get, you know, reprimanded by your parents, if you do them in the wrong space, you could go to jail. You could get beat up, like, you're not tough. Like, you grew up pretty good. You're not tough. So you could do all these, you know, angsty, cool things for social media, or see what these kids do on social media and try to replicate it and get the consequences that maybe they didn't, because they did it in a safe space. You know, there's one video where a guy ran up on one of these kids ran up on Lil Dicky and like snatched the ball out of his hand and like said something real disrespectful to him. It's a white guy named Lil Dicky. What was that going to do? You think it's funny. You saw it on social media, thought it was funny. You shared it with your friends. Okay, now you're going to go to a park and maybe do it to another white guy who looks like Lil Dicky but doesn't think like Lil Dicky. Lil Dicky's a recording artist. Lil Dicky has sponsorships. He has a label. He has people that he's responsible for that write him checks that allow him to take care of his family. There's another guy that you may do this out in public. He doesn't have that. So when he slaps fire out of you, or if he pulls out a weapon, or if he does something because you decide to do something that you thought was funny that you saw on social media, and you experience different ramifications, you can't focus, or you can't reference that video you saw on Instagram as the reason as to why you did it, because they don't know. It's like when people would blame Tupac's music for shooting. Like, Tupac wasn't there when you shot that person. That was your decision. You did that. He can't go to jail off of something you did, especially if he wasn't there and he doesn't know you. So I think there has to be a different level of responsibility. And I mean, and that honestly goes back to, I always wonder about this generation. And what I mean is like, we look at the kids and we're like, oh man, how do these kids not know about, how do you not know about OutKast? Or we talked about this like with Wayne, like the Wayne that they know versus the Wayne that we know are two completely different Waynes.
True.
You know, like, so what are we doing to, like, how do we bridge the gap better? How do we invite them into our world, but then at the same time, build up and generate enough trust to where when we show them something, when we tell them, hey, look, like, I know you're looking at these artists who are on SoundCloud and they're flashing all this money on social media. It don't really work like that. And for them to sit down and look at it and actually believe the truth instead of believing the image. Like, how do we do that?
I don't know, man.
Because, I mean, it's essentially on us. It's on us. Because X isn't responsible for all the kids who listen to his music. You have no idea. I'll never forget one of the biggest things that God ever told me was, like, with my music, he was like, you'll never be able to eat the fruit off of every seed that you plant. Every seed that you plant will sprout a tree, it will produce fruit, and you won't eat the fruit off of that tree, meaning you won't see the result of all the things that you do. So when I have events like the experience, and I'm there for 2 hours after the show because people want to talk to me about, like, how my music impacted them or whatever, like, that's the example that I get, but I've got fans everywhere. So it's different from me being, and I don't say this in a negative context, but maybe a local rapper who's 90% of their fan base is in whatever city they're from, which is cool. But I may have a show, you know, 5% or 10% of my fan base was at the show and ordered online. I have this many thousand followers here, this many thousand followers here. I don't know what it does for people. I don't know everything. So X isn't responsible for all that stuff because I don't think he knows that. So who's responsible to sort of funnel this information? Us, those who are around, uncles, fathers, big brothers, cousins, you know? But yeah. It's like, how do we do that? How do we reach them without looking like, you know I look like the old head to my nephews. Now, man, get out of here. You don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, you have no idea how much I know what I'm talking about. But then when we were their age, I looked at my father the same way. Like, man, you don't know what you're talking about. But now 15 years after the fact, I have conversations with my father and things that he told me, he absolutely knew what he was talking about. So I don't know, man. Hip hop does a really piss poor job of, like, respecting its elders. And we've talked about this at length.
Yeah. And now hip hop's got a whole class of elders.
Yeah. So who would be the elders in hip hop now that are, like, actually relevant to you?
Well, I mean, in terms of fans even, right? Like, there's a whole class of, like, because when, like, your parents might have been a fan of hip hop growing up. If you're like our age, but they didn't come up on hip hop necessarily.
Right, or
if
it was, right.
It was like really early hip hop, which might as well almost be a different genre at this point.
Right. You're right. Mm-hmm.
So now, like, the old heads, no, they came up on hip hop. They came up on the controversies.
Right.
They had, so yeah, it's kind of, part of it's just the maturation of hip hop and, like, you know, I don't know. So, like, if you were a fan of rock music in the 60s, and you had kids in the 80s. Like, when you were a kid, you really could tell your parents, you don't know the music I'm listening to. Because your parents came up on, like, big band music.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. But then you're sitting there listening to, like, 60s protest rock for the Vietnam War.
Protest rock. Right.
Which might as well be a different, like, galaxy. Right.
Yeah.
But then they turn around and their kids are listening to, like, hair metal or, like, even, like, Nirvana. Like, that's just I mean, it's still rock and it's different, but it's like, listen, I know it all. Like, cause you kind of, I think sometimes you just have like, especially when you're talking about music, there are just these generation, these weird sort of generational pairings. And I think we like just the maturation of hip hop. We now have parents fully raised on hip hop who came up in all that, who actually can look at their kids and go, no, I kind of get it. But each generation wants, they got to stand on their own too.
Right.
You know, and man, you already can't tell kids anything, but now they don't like, you know, when we were growing up, it was, the joke was always like, nah, you're not raising your kids. Like MTV is raising your kids, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. Well, guess what? Now, like, you don't even have a corporate gatekeeper raising your kids. You got kids raising your kids. Congratulations.
Bars.
That's secret, I'm secretly rapping on this episode.
You really are. You've really dropped like six bars really, really low.
The absolute lowest of keys. So low that it's not even really a key.
That's a bar too. That's a Pusha T bar.
Hey, have you heard about, do you hear that news about Push when they asked him about his album at Made in America?
No, what did he say?
He said that he and Kanye have done three albums worth of material, and every time they get ready to like wrap it up, Kanye scraps it all and says, I can do better.
Is this like Kanye having 40 records with Young Thug, or is this actually true?
How dare you put Young Thug in the same category with Pusha Ton? Is that what we're doing?
I'm just saying.
Here's my thing, because he says Kanye's producing the whole album, which is okay. Interesting. But do I want an album that is, do I want a Pusha T album that has absolutely no Pharrell? I don't know. Can you imagine, or can you imagine an album that was all Kanye or that was all Kanye and Pharrell?
Of course I can imagine that. I mean, well, it sounds great for starters, but.
Or would it be more like Number One, which is actually a great record in retrospect?
No, no. I mean, I don't know. Look at My Name Is My Name.
Yeah, no, you got that. Yep.
Had some Pharrell records. Had a lot of Kanye influence, if not, including some outright production. Like, the Pusha T template is there. Like, where I get scared with Pusha T is, like, I'd be afraid that he's going to rap over, like, really trendy production.
Oh, like he did, like that Timbo record?
Yeah, well, just in general, like, I don't want, no. Like,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Pusha's gift is like he can rap over completely unorthodox, bizarre beats.
Like the HGTV, right?
Right. Or even like Numbers on the Boards. A lot of rappers couldn't do that.
Which is crazy. I mean, that beat to me says get off.
It does. But I mean, it's like that bass is so overpowering and overwhelming, and you can kind of get distracted by that weird little loop that kind of, I don't know. I feel like he can,
you're like, rappers might get distracted by that. Not over here, you know what I'm saying?
See, that's what we should have done after the show. We should have just thrown on some beats and just had people jump in.
I really should. You know what? There was a lot of rappers in that.
There was a lot of rappers in there.
Yeah, that was really, you're right. We should have did that. Priest was there. Taylor Gray was there. Trav Dave was there. There was some rappers there.
JB could have got some bars off.
JB could have got more bars off. Yeah, that would have been a really good idea. All right, next time.
Anything else you want to say about Tentacion?
Nah, I think we've extended ourselves. I really want to know what you guys think.
Yes, please do.
Just in general, hit up the show at CRS Podcast. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on Instagram at Armand Wake Up at @Doc_Beats. That's not a Z. Let us know what you think about it. Just everything that we've spoken on in general, anything you want to speak to, please. We'd love to hear your feedback on this.
Anything else, man? Do you want to talk about this Apple stuff, or you want to wait till next week?
I mean, it's on you, cuz, like, you know, you're the Apple guy. Another text message from my carrier that said, you know, your phone's about to be paid off, you know, next month. So
paid in full.
So if I want to, you know, have my bill go down $30 a month, actually $60 because my iPad is on it too. So if I want my bill to go down $60 a month, which would be great, you know, let them know. Or if I want to upgrade and get something else, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in this iPhone 8.
Yeah.
Like really interested in it.
Yeah. They might call it something else, but I know what you mean.
Is it called like the X or something like
that?
They
might call it the X. You know, okay. We got to really go back. That's how you know the 90s are really back.
Why?
Everything's going to be like Extreme or X or that. That was
Do I need to like get a can of Surge now?
I mean, God, can you just imagine the Samsung Galaxy Extreme? It's just the worst product.
They had one called like the Alpha or something like that. That was like bigger. It's trash, but whatever. I'm interested in this phone, but like my between my pride and then Apple people being not so, I don't even know what to call. I won't say y'all because you're not that guy. Like, you're not like, what? You don't have an Apple product? You're terrible.
I mean,
you're
listen, there are two people I text with on a regular basis who show up with the green bubble in iMessage. That's you and my mom. You and rarefied air.
Okay. And you're not going to say anything crazy about me or your mother. So there's that.
There you go.
But I don't want to feel like I like gave up. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I'm
See,
not.
You want to. That's what I was talking about before. It's tribal.
Hmm. Yeah.
You can't go all the way to the other side.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, like, I don't. And I say I don't want to now I want to sing. I don't want to wait for our lives to be over.
I thought you were going to go, Joe, I don't want to know.
That's Mario Winans. I don't want to
know. Thank you.
Joe was I want to know.
I want to know. I don't want to know.
Guys. Jeez, I want to know, and I don't.
Oh, God, wait, was I don't want to know? That's the saddest song ever, isn't it?
That's like, yeah, like if you're playing me, keep it on the
low. Oh, no.
That's not sad, Doc. That's pathetic. You know what? Just tell me. Just get it over with.
But he don't want to know.
I don't want to know what happened before me. That's why I think a lot of people get messed up is they start talking about like their past. Like, okay, well, how many people have you been with? And I'm not talking about like the context of like relationships. Like, so, okay, so what was your ex like and stuff like that? That's different. Like, how many people have you slept with? If that number's high,
who cares?
Does it matter?
Who cares?
We just got real quiet. We went from talking about phones to talking about how many in that clock radio.
Talk about the magic number.
So, yeah. So, like, I'll get an iPhone for a couple weeks and then, you know, go back and get the Note 8. I'm totally happy with my S7 Edge. I have no problems with it. It's dinged up. It's banged up or whatever, but I have no issues with it.
There you go. You want to come roll with the winners, you know.
Oh, stop it. Stop it right now. So I guess we'll talk about that. We can talk about that next week.
Yeah, we can talk about it next week. Because
you're copping no matter what. Like, it's yours.
I mean, you know, we've got the annual re-up plan, R-E-U-P-N-G gang. It's
a shout out to Sandman. I listened to We Got It for Cheap 2 a couple weeks ago.
And?
So the general consensus is that 2 is the best one, right?
That's the one where it's Young Obnoxious, Hands on a Watches, Swag Out of This World. That's
yeah,
how that one.
That's over the Ludacris intro.
Kills that.
He does. But I almost want to go back and listen. I know one was good, but one pales in comparison to 2 and 3. But I kind of want to go back and listen to 3. I went back and listened to that Pharrell Gangsta Grills. His beat selection was hard.
Yeah, he rapped over he rapped over Liquid Swords, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He went back. Yeah, like Pharrell. In my mind, what people don't understand about In My Mind, you don't know where we're going, and we've talked about this on the show too. When In My Mind came out, and even when Pharrell's Gangsta Grills came out, people were not happy with either of those projects.
In My Mind, the eventual release of Out of My Mind, even if it's an unofficial release, really like helped a little bit.
How so?
Because In My Mind has some stinkers.
Yes, it did.
But Out of My Mind, just, you know, it was basically like, yeah, well, what if this were just an NERD project?
Yeah.
Just with the Roots.
Yep. Doing the best Neptunes rendition.
I decided to listen to Neptunes Presents the Clones last night.
I listened to that recently, too.
Just because I wanted to you know, because you'll love this about Marissa. She loves rock and roll.
That's the song that I listen to. Rock and Roll is so hard.
Yes, sir.
Oh my God, that record is so tough.
See, the problem with those old Neptunes records is like when you listen to them all in a row and you've got the benefit of hindsight, you're like, yeah, they're using like the same three instruments on every single one.
100%, but it didn't matter.
Didn't matter, because there I am singing along to Babyface, There She Goes. And I was like,
Yeah, my father loved that record.
That's a great record.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
But no, but I'm sitting there trying to explain to my wife the goofy ridiculousness, but still endearingness of Light That Ass on Fire, which is a terribly, terribly awkward record.
Very much so.
With a creepy video.
Very much so.
And yet,
I've said a few creepy videos.
Well, you know.
He's a creep.
But what was else? Because we, I randomly put on a Pusha T playlist on Apple Music, and they only had one record off the Clips' first album. And I was like, nah, we're going to listen to Young Boy right now.
Oh, my God. Comedy Central, Gangsta Lean.
When's the last time it's not aged well?
It hasn't. And I watched Pusha T said it made in America, and he only did Grindin'. He did no other Clips records.
Really?
Yeah, no Clips records. His set was really awkward. He rapped with his own vocal tracks.
Oh.
He didn't have the earpiece. So he was he was screaming.
Well, yeah, because at your set, because you had a small place, you could have the monitors, and that's all you need.
Yep. Main America performing for 5,000 people.
No, it's like 100,000. That's like a lot of people there.
Well, I mean, like people are at different stages.
Sure, but I mean, it's a huge place. You need in-ear monitors.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's unfortunate.
Crazy.
He didn't do like Mr. Me Too.
No, he did a bunch of King Push records. And then he did My Name Is My Name. He did the Clips. Oh, and then he did all his Kanye records.
I mean, I get it.
I don't. Because he said, make some noise if you remember the Clips.
People made noise.
He did Grindin', and that was it.
He didn't bring everybody on for the remix? You imagine if he did that?
What, the remix of Grindin'?
Yeah, he just brings everybody out.
What, Sean DePaul?
Wasn't Cardinal Official on that?
Probably. Sounds like it. Well, remember, there was like four different remixes of that record.
That's true.
There was a remix with Nori.
Yeah.
There was a reggae. That's what it was. It was a reggae remix that had Sean DePaul, Cardinal, and maybe one other person.
The early 2000s were just a confusing time.
Confusing is putting it really, really nice.
For whatever reason, even though not related at all, you said Sean DePaul and Petey Pablo's Raise Up just popped in my head. I just started laughing.
That's a hard record. Don't ever associate Sean DePaul with a great record like Petey Pablo Raise Up. Don't do that. Oh my God.
Until you get to the All Cities remix.
I was going to say, I'm waiting on another rapper to do a song where he has to do 40 different versions to appease.
Rappers did that in the 2000s in general. There have been songs I've heard where there's like remixes where it's like, we got to shout out every city.
TQ Westside did that. He did, but he only did it for like West Coast cities. Because I remember living in Denver at that time, and there was a version that had that shout out like Denver.
Denver's like, not on the West Coast.
Colorado was 100% West Coast. I'll say Denver considers itself, Colorado considers itself a West Coast state.
Colorado?
Colorado Springs Bridge. Shout out to Raging Moses. Yeah, Colorado Springs Bridge. Yeah, so it was like Colorado, Arizona, Las Vegas, and something else. Ooh, yo, did I say that about Denver? Yo, Denver ran more weed commercials on their radio stations, like in the same vein that like a Target would run a commercial.
I mean,
like,
hey, it's legal.
Labor Day weekend, 15% off of everything in the store. Radio stations. Hey, we're here at blah 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 dispensary from 10 to 2. It was just weird. It was super weird. And then when I got to DIA, and you'll experience, yeah, because you head out in these streets this weekend, aren't you?
No, I'm going to Pittsburgh this weekend, and then I'm not going to Denver till July. November.
Okay, November. So like in DIA, they had a dog running up and down the TSA because people would obviously fly out there,
yeah,
go get their stuff and bring it back. So they had a dog like running up and down, and one, I don't know if the girl got sniffed out, but like, or at worst, she was smoking while she was there and just the, residue was still in her body or whatever. But like dog was on her heavy. It was really,
sounds like a Snoop line. That's just terrible.
Stop it. Stop it right now.
Oh,
I think we're good.
I think we're good. Cause we just went in random places. Thank you everybody for listening as always. I think we'll be back next week. I don't know. Music's kind of weirdly slow right now.
Very much so.
We need someone to drop. Who wants to drop right now? Anybody?
Anybody, please help.
Anybody?
And our audience is going to be like, hey, you guys haven't reviewed the new so-and-so.
What is it with you and the surfer accent?
I don't know.
Dudes.
You guys haven't reviewed Daniel Caesar. Yo, we got a lot of props for talking about Daniel Caesar.
a couple weeks ago.
He's got potential.
He's got potential. A little too sad for me, but the records were dope. The records were dope. My daughter put me onto what's the kid's name? Is it Khalid or is it Khaled?
Yeah, Khaled.
Yeah, Location's a decent record.
I didn't like Location.
It's cool.
It's all right. I was like, this is a hit? Really?
Yeah, I was shocked that it was a hit. Yeah, I thought that he was like in that SoundCloud wave, you know, but I didn't know that like he was like out here.
I'm just imagining your daughter being like, God, you need to hear this. And she puts on XXXTentacion and you're just like, oh, God, no.
Oh, no. Well, what happened was my nephews were talking about it. And she was like, yeah, I know who that is. And I was like, what? How do you know who that is?
Did you do the quick head swivel or was it the slow with your eyes bulging out? Like,
oh, it was quick. It was quick because I'm very overprotective of my daughter. So how do
you overprotective of your daughter?
No, I know, right? Crazy. I know I can't shield her from everything. I just want her to be as knowledgeable about what's around her as possible. So when she says, how old is she?
I always forget. How old is she?
12.
Yeah. I mean, 12 years old, I was rapping along to Dog Pound Let's Playhouse.
Right. Absolutely.
So
the good thing about her, I know, is that like vulgar stuff really like offends her. Now.
That's a great qualifier. Now.
Yeah. I get that and I'm using that and like we have conversations about that and my goal is to keep her there for as long as humanly possible. I don't know, man. She might be a unicorn. She might continue to not like that stuff, man. I don't know. I hope so.
I mean, there's going to be something because, you know, kids, they have to have their own way of like pushing against the edges or like sort of drawing a line of where they start and their parents end. Like, so there'll be something where she's like, where she likes it and you're just like, oh no.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's all her music now, but none of it is offensive because it's vulgar. It's offensive because it's bad. I can deal with music that I don't like.
You're like, I host a podcast. Brunch. Okay.
Yeah, right.
And I think that concludes this week's episode. Thank you everybody for listening. Don't know if we'll be back next week or not, but thank you as always. Use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers or just hit us up at CRS Podcast. Let us know what you think, and we'll be back soon.